Okay, the Mishnah says, Asar Dvarim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Banish Mishnah. What does it mean? What does it mean? And this is delicate, it's a delicate matter, this concept. I don't want you to misunderstand it. Because we don't understand it fully, but yet what we're trying to do is to give an approach to it. You see, what is the importance of saying? Why did Chazal find it necessary to say that these things were created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmash? What is the importance of it? And what if they weren't created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmash? So what? Are we saying that God couldn't change nature? I mean, don't we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam, creator of nature? So why should we say this? What Chazal is saying is that all the nisim that occurred were already pre-programmed, woven into the plan of the creation. An Erev Shabbos Banish Mashiach. Alright? What is the purpose of saying this? Why is that so important? And why must it be mentioned here in others? Why must it be mentioned here in others? Okay. What's the answer?
I have an idea.
Yeah.
And that is that...
I'm driving a different point. So I want to say it like this. That what is the Ibn Ezra? What is the Ibn Ezra basically saying? I mean, that whole Ibn Ezra. What is he? That man is like a small world. Man is a small world, and there's the Olam Gadol, there's the Olam Katan, the microcosm, macrocosm. What is he getting at? What is the Ibn Ezra really saying? What is he really saying? I mean, you have to be very careful here in the way you formulate it. Be very careful in the way you formulate it, because you're dealing with areas that basically are dangerous areas in terms of the Yesod HaDos. And that's why you have to be careful that you just say minimally, but not more than is necessary. Alright? What the Ibn Ezra is saying is, basically, I mean, I'm just going to say B'derech Mashal. Say B'derech Mashal, but I don't want you to take it as a conclusive concept. Alright? What he is saying with that Mashal, he gives you the Mashal. He says, if Reuven says that it's the light of the moon, he's right. If Shimon says the light of the sun, he's also right. What does he mean? He means to say that it is, they're both right, but one is the true source. It means to say like this, that all the phenomena that we see in this world really all stems from God. All stems from God. But there are emtsoyim. There are emtsoyim. The way God, what he's saying basically is like this, that God is, so to speak, and I'm saying it b'derech mashal only, but what he's saying is that God is, as a mashal, the soul of the universe. Okay? The soul of the universe. That's why he says that man, that's why he gives you the mashal of man. He says man is like an olam katan. An olam katan means just like the soul directs there's a relationship between the soul and the physical body of man. And the physical body of man, when it's perfected, is under the soul. But there is a relationship between an essence that's non-physical and one that's physical. He's saying that God is really the same thing obtains. See? And basically, one of the philosophers who became a big Epicurus was a student of the Ibn Ezra. Was a student of the Ibn Ezra. And his philosophy derived from the Ibn Ezra. So the point is like this. See, what am I trying to get at? And that's what the Ibn Ezra really means. That's why he doesn't want to talk too much. This philosopher misunderstood and thought that what he ultimately wound up with was kafira. Because I told you, the area is one which is a very abstract area, and a person can't just run in here and draw conclusions. But what is the Ibn Ezra saying? See, what do Chazal say? It's an interesting phenomenon. Chazal say that God created everything, was already woven into Sheishis and Abrashis, predestined that everything will unravel, Priyas Yamsuf, the Mikhtav Aluchos, the Mate Moshe, was all pre-programmed. What does it mean? It means to say that God is a source of Chokhmah that we cannot relate to. We cannot relate to the way we would like to. In other words, a person would be much happier if he thought simply that God simply just interfered, and that's it. But that means that now I'm in trouble and God moves in, boom, he interferes. But that is really, that concept is alien theatus. That concept is alien theatus. It means that man, because of his physical nature, and because of his desire for security, is driven by his religious emotion. Such a thing. But Yadus basically denies man that satisfaction. So that what the Ibn Ezra is saying basically, and what Chazal is saying, is that everything, the way God relates to us, is completely through Chochmah. Which means that in the first few moments of creation, when everything was created, everything was set to unravel, the Hashgacha was also set. But the Hashgacha emerges as a part of Chochmas Hashem. Impersonal in the sense that man searches for a personal, but nevertheless imminent in the creation. You see, imminent in the creation. And that is why Chazal say that these things, that's why it's important for us, the Yesod B'dos, it's important for us to know that these things were created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos. What does it mean? It means that Yadus is telling us that the God that Yadus accepts, Borei Shemayim V'Oretz, that God relates to us only through his infinite system of Chachmah. But man is unhappy with that if he's not on, unless he's on a very high level. On a very high level, man is extremely happy with that. The person that's truly perfected is very happy with that. And on the contrary, that which we mentioned before about Bitochon ultimately can't come to its conclusion unless the person partakes of this idea. Of this idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ultimately it's impossible to have Bitochon on the so called religious level. You see, it's impossible. The only real Bitochon is the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as one who reveals himself through his infinite Chochmah, but not one that satisfies man's emotional search for security. You see. Now if you take a look at there's one place where it says Vayinasu Osi. Actually, one place open in the Torah where it says that they were Menasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other places doesn't say it openly. Doesn't use the word in the sign. But there's one place, you see. Where is the place? One of them that's mentioned, Refidim. Because it says, Vayisu adas meyesom imi vasilu masen perishon vayachdom Refidim ve'en mayim lishtos ha'am. Vayora va'om im Moshe vayomet. Tnu lana mayim v'nishte. Vayom ala Moshe. Matu rizun imadi. Matu nasu nesar Hashem. Okay. So, if you take a look at the Ibn Ezra on the spot, there's an interesting thing. That's the one case where we see what Nisayan is. Okay. Well, if we analyze that case, you'll understand all the cases because they're all basically partake of the same concept. He says like this: Vayorev, it says Vayorev ha'om in Moshe vayomer. So he says Vayorev hiskir ha'om v'lo kol ha'om, not the entire nation. Kasher hiskir b'dvar ha'mon. Why? Kishtayim kitos ha'yir. There were two groups there. Ho'echad ein lamayim lishtos. One of them didn't have any water. Zehi ha'osam ariv ha'moshe. That was the one that did battle with Moshe. Vashenis, the second one, Yesh Lahem Mayim, Sheviu Me Olish. They had water. Vehi HaRotza L'Nasos Es Hashem and Yiken Mayim. They're the ones that wanted to test God to see if he'll give water. You see? That's why he says, Tenu Lanu, so in Yiken Mayim, Kashay Yafarish. Tenu Lanu Mayim, L'Mosh L'Amadavim. Okay, then he goes like this. He says, Vehine Heshiv Lemerivim Imo, Moshe Rabbeinu answered the ones that are arguing with him. Ma Terivim Imadi. Those are the ones that wanted water, that were thirsty. And he says, Nitzakulon Ol Hashem. What are you arguing with me? Let's all pray to God. V'omar Lamenasim, and he said to the second group that were testing God, Ma Tenasun Esed Hashem. Okay, that's what the Ibn Ezra says. So what's the shot? What does it mean to say? It means to say like this, that what's the concept, what does it mean, what's the Masa Mariva? He says, Hinei pirsha Masa yesh shem b'kibbeinu shiyasa kol tokeinu. V'zo sakat ha-shniya hechisa ha-shem yosem en ha-rishana. Al-kenam olos naso shem l'kechem ha-shem yisizim b'masa. What it means is like this. What it means is every one of those nisyonos was generated by one thing. If you look at the mafarshim, they always say it's strange. When they wanted the slav, so says the head, Rashi says, they had a lot of behemoths. They had a lot of behemoths. So you say, what is this? This is crazy. What do they want the slav for? And the answer is, what were they looking for, really? What were they looking for? They were looking, and one of the ten nisyonos was the ego. As a matter of fact, I saw that the Maram Prat, why is the ego considered a nisayon? What kind of nisayon is that? What's not a nisayon? They made an ego, so what kind of nisayon is that? And the answer is like this. The answer is every nisayon has one common denominator. What's the common denominator? Hayesh ad Hashem b'kerbeinu l'mayim. It means they couldn't raise themselves from the level of desiring to satisfy that sense of a search for a persona, you see, and they couldn't satisfy that desire, and they wanted it to be satisfied by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had water, but they wanted to satisfy that emotion, and that was the emotion of the ego. That was the emotion of the ego. It means they could not raise them to the emotion that was Kizel Ish Moshe Asher Halon Yitzhayim Lo Yadana Mahoyala Vata Yadana Nasalon Olehim Asher Yelchol Afanenu Eila Lach Yisrael Asher Tzitzichim Asher Tzitzichim. All, it was basically one weakness. The weakness every time, it wasn't a practical thing. The Ibn Ezra says there were some people that were thirsty, so Moshe Matri even Imadi. So let's pray to Hashem. But the ones that were the worst ones were the ones that were Masa. Masa was the ones that were Menasa Kadosh Baruch Hu. They were the ones that wanted to satisfy that emotional desire, emotional need to feel a direct, that there's somebody there, a projection of a type of a human kind of being that would satisfy them. See? That was their desire. Now the point is, that's why Chazal say that these 10 things were created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos. Why? Because really it all ties in. Originally it started off with the Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu. And it talks about how he accepted. What is a Nisyon? He accepted everything that occurred in reality. Why? Because of his concept of God. But you see, all the Nisim that occurred were all pre-programmed into the first moments of creation. And the way God relates to us is only through his infinite Chochmah. And not in a way that we desire. Our idea of what we're searching for, B'tochen, not like the Chazon says, like people want to feel a certain sense of security, that things could occur simply the way they want. That's an extension of their own omnipotence, basically. But the only true B'tochen is where a person takes those emotional energies and directs it towards God, who is the source of all of the creation and all that occurs. And that can only be done if he knows. That's why it's the Yesod HaDas that these things were created. Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos. That's why Pirkei Avos mentions that. Because the concept of Bitochon Bashem can never be complete as long as a person remains on the primitive level. As long as he doesn't rise to the higher level, you see, where he recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the source of all existence. You see, and that he relates to us through his infinite chokhmah. That's basically that. That's why that's the tie-up between the nisyonos of Avram and the nisim and the masa omeriva. Because in masa omeriva and the ten nisyonos that they were menasa kadosh baruch hu was basically the flaw was in that inability to recognize the concept of the asura dvarim when nivru erev Shabbos bein hashmashos, and it's far removed from the way that would satisfy human emotion. But on a higher level, like the Ibn Ezra says, if a person is successful and reaches the level of real chokhmah, then on the contrary, then he attains a sense of betochon, which is impossible to attain on the lower level, impossible to achieve on the lower level. So that's basically the reason why these Mishnayos are mentioned over here, because it's necessary in order to understand the concept of Emunah and Betochen, which is really from Avraham Avinu, to understand that perfection ultimately has to reside in the true apprehension of man by man of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'd like to add something. What the Ibn Ezra says. that the way God relates to the world, he says he gives a mashal of the guf and the neshama. Now he says that the brain, which is the koach hamachshava, and is related to the soul more than anything else, and he says, but you see, there are certain parts of the body that are more sensitive. Are more sensitive. Okay. What it means is like this. See, that ties in really with the more sensitive to receive the neurological messages from the brain. Now, it means like this, that in the creation, there are different levels of creation. A man is really a different kind of a creature. And that's why man, in relationship to the creation, see, he says the same thing is true. By the way, he says that's the yisod of the Mishkan. What it means like this, that it means that everything, yisod of the Mishkan is really that everything works with a system. It means that the original source, the Kruvim, and then it reduces, less Kedusha, you know, outside, all these different levels. All right, that's like the moon and the sun. It means that the Mishkan represents this concept of how God relates to the world. But man is a creature who relates to God, who partakes of God in a different way than inanimate matter. Okay? It's like the heart is more sensitive than the bone. That's the example that he's giving. Which means to say that man, it's according to the Koch of the Makabal, God's expression in the universe is according to the recipient. Man's soul is a more sensitive receptor than inanimate matter to God. Even Malach Olaritz Kavodo. So that's why Erev Shabbos, what it means, Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas, it means that God created this universe with, it's all an expression of his infinite Chachma. Now man is more of a recipient than the inanimate matter. That's why these Nisim were pre-programmed into the Sheish Shemei Bereishis. They were pre-programmed because God, in creating the universe, took into consideration those parts of the universe that are more receptive to him, and those parts that are less receptive, and the creation was made as a harmonious whole. It's a harmonious whole. You understand what I'm saying? It's a harmonious whole that relates to all of God's creation, and that's why these things were programmed. Because these things were programmed for the benefit of man, who is a higher recipient of Kvod Hashem. You follow? A rock is also a recipient of Kvod Hashem, but man is a recipient of Kvod Hashem in a different way. That's the mashal he gives from the guf. That the guf is sensitive to the brain, but different parts of the guf are more sensitive. So the universe, what the Chazal are saying basically is that God, in creating the universe, there's no dichotomy here. A dichotomy would be like this: He creates the universe, and that creates man. Now man is operating in the now man does this, and now God has to change this. That would mean that God's creation is not a harmonious whole. You understand what I mean? It would mean they created this. Now it's something else. There's a conflict. So now he has to straighten things out. So now he has to act this way. That is not God's chachma. That's not the way God created. God's creation of the universe is a totality. Okay? The totality includes those parts that are receptive to him in one way, parts that are receptive to him in another way. And the universe is geared to be able to exist, you see, according to his chachma. Now man is a component of that creation. That component of creation, he's a recipient of Kvod Hashem in a different way. You see? And that's why his existence is programmed into the Sheish Shemei Bereishis. That's why it was Bein Hashmashos. It means to say that God didn't create, there's no dichotomy in his creation. That's basically what he's saying. You understand? Now, a concept is like this. The point I want to make is, concept like this, that our concept of God is that God is the source of the universe, and it's all a system. It's all a system. But those that maintained that philosophy wound up with pantheism. You see? Whereas we maintain creationism, and yet we maintain that it is He is the source of all the all that exists. He is so to speak. You see, the soul of the the soul of the universe, but it's also creation. That's an important, very important point. is a very important point. That's why I told you that philosopher, when studying the Ibn Ezra, became a pantheist. He got it from the Ibn Ezra. But the point is that the reason why he drew that conclusion is because that conclusion is only natural if a person is operating with human categories, with human framework. And approaching God, you can't do that. So you can't do that. The concept, the emotional, see, there's a certain emotional attitude of the pantheist. You see? Emotional attitude of the pantheist means that it relates to the universe in terms of all chachma. That Yadis maintains, but not that there is no creation. There is creation. You see? That's a differentiating feature. Do you understand what I mean? I am not saying that God had to do this way. I'm not saying that God had to do it. I'm not saying that God had to do it this way for a certain reason because of this. I am saying that God had to do it this way because of God. There's no answer. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's the way he. That's his. Let me put it this way. I'll just put it in the way the Rambam would say it. Because his infinite wisdom dictated that he do so. Okay? But of course, his infinite wisdom doesn't mean something extraneous to him. That's him. All right? There's one more point. There's one point I think that should be emphasized. One point that should be brought out. Okay? The point is like this. That according to the Ibn Ezra, that's the whole concept of the Mishkan. See, the concept of the Mishkan is this idea. He says the concept of the Mishkan is this idea that there's the Kruvim, the Kodesh Kodashim, that are recipients of God's Chachma to the higher degree. Then there's the various degrees. What he means is that the Mishkan is a model, a duplication, a miniature duplication of God's relationship to the universe. That's what he means. You see? Okay? That's what he means. What we said last time was has to do with Parshas Kisiso also, yesterday's Parsha. So what we said was that the question was raised, what do all these Asaras have to do with Pergelos? That was the basic question. What do these Asaras with Pergelos, right? And the Rambam already mentioned that the Rambam already mentioned this problem, alludes to the problem. The Rambam says in Beis, Perkamishi Beis, he says, Ela Darsim Divrei Atar Ploni Hadam Tuholi Ploni Ala Seder, V'zochar Zeh Amasha Achor Ne Zichro Asar Mamoros, Shebahen Musil La'odom L'zare Zoso L'saki Nafsho B'maylos Amidos B'maylos Asichliya Shezeh Kavonos Os Masechta. So he says the purpose of the Masechta is to perfect a person with his Midos, alright, with his perfection of the emotions, and also, of course, the highest perfection, which is the perfection of Seichel. That's what the Rambam mentioned. So the Rambam says that that's why he mentioned all these things afterwards, because he mentioned Asar Mamoros. Now, what I'm saying is simply that you can't say just because it's Asara, what does the Rambam mean? Just because everything after that is Asara, so he mentioned everything that's Asara, it doesn't make any sense. All right? So from the Rambam, you see that there is some relationship between the Asar Mamoros, which we mentioned, is a Zeros law, then we explained that. We explained that several weeks ago. In what manner it's a Zeros, how it shows a person what his relationship to the Creator and the purpose of the Creator in making Adam and what his place is in reality. Okay? But the Rambam says that because of that he mentions all the other Asaras. But you just can't say the Rambam means because of that you mentioned everything has Asara. I mean, there's a lot of Asaras. Doesn't make any sense. Okay? I mean, you can bring in Asaras HaShvatim also. Doesn't make any sense. So what does the Rambam mean? The Rambam means to say that these next few statements that have Asara, even though they're not zeros, and Tikkun Nefesh, B'maylos Hamidos, B'maylos Hasichlias, but they are related to the idea of zeros. See, they're related to the idea of zeros. There's something in common over there. Okay? That's what the Rambam is saying, basically. Now, we wanted to know is, what is that idea? What is that idea that has to do with Zeru's Adam, in terms of his Midas, in terms of his Sichlius? Okay? And yet it's not direct Zeru's, but it has to do with it in some manner. Okay? So we said like this. We said that that the, of course, the Asara Nisyanos we went through, we explained the Asara Nisyanos, why that has to do with Zirus. But the Asara Nisim, that Nasu Lavasenu B'Mitzrayim V'Alayom, and then you have Asara Nisyanos, Nisu Lavasenu Samakom, 10 times they tested God, and then you have the 10 Nisim that happened in the Beit HaMikdash, and after that you have the 10 things that were created Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShmoses. Okay? And the way the Mefarshim explained, these things were created, I don't know. Okay. These things were created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmoses. And the Rambam explains, okay, he says, Kvar Zachanu, it's the Rambam's book, Kvar Zachanu Loch B'Perek Aches, Sheheim Lo Yaminu B'Chidish HaRatzo Mechaleis. That they, Chazal didn't believe that God is Mechadesh his Ratzon at every time. Avo B'Tchilas HaSiyas HaDvarim, in the beginning, when God first created everything, Som B'Teve She Yehosebahem Ma She Yehoseh. Hein Yeh HaDover She Yehoseh Ma'odi V'Hu HaDerech Tivi O Yeh Chidish Le'itim Rechokim V'Hu HaMofes HaKol B'Shava. In other words, God, in creating the universe, already everything was woven into the universe. Which means all the Nisim as well. Okay? Al-Kain Amru, that's why Chazal say, Shebeyom HaShishi, Som B'Teva Oretz, Shetishka Karach Lada. So that's what I say, that on the sixth day, it was already part of the formula, that Korach and his Eder should sink. Ulu Be'er Sheyotzi Amayim, Ulu Asim Sheyedam, V'Chein HaShor. Okay? He says, well, I tell him, maybe the Ram says, maybe you'll say, Achareisha kolana flos kula musmu betivi hadvorim ohaini sheshine bereshis, since everything was placed already into the teva, lomo yiched elo asara. So he says, why does the Mishnah isolate these ten? He says, da, shelo yichadom lomar she'en shel mofes shehusam beteva hadvorim rak elo. Aval oma she'elo nasa ben ashmoshos, levad. We sure enough lost on lofsim husumu betive hadvar mashenasu beis he asosom techila. All right. So the Rambam says, why did they isolate these things? He says, why did they isolate these 10 things that were accomplished bein hashmoshes? He says, not because the other lofsim happened because of God's will at the time. That's not true. He says, but they're saying that these 10 had to be specially. They were exceptions, that they had to be specially formulated Bein HaShmoses, the last moment of creation. But the other things were all woven into the creation at the time when the objects were created. V'amr al derech mashal, sheyom sheni be'echolek hamayim husam b'teva sheyecholek yamsuf l'moshe. V'ayardein li'yoshua, v'chein le'liyo, v'chein le'elisha, v'yom revi k'shinivra shemesh husam b'teva sheyamo b'zman ploni b'dvar yoshua elav. Okay. So the Rambam explains, he says, not because Chazal really held that besides these 10 that God, at the moment of the occurrence of a nes, that God, so to speak, came down and created the nes. Everything was created in the Teva, in Sheshit and Ebrechit. The only thing is that these 10 could not possibly be created at the time that the objects which they relate to were created because of God's chokhmah, reasons that we don't understand clearly. But these 10 things were impossible to weave in the creation process itself when the creation dealt with those things. So it had to be left as an exception. Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmoses. That's what the Rambam says. Okay? The point that we wanted to make was that the idea, first of all, what the basic idea is, that when God created the universe, so he didn't create the universe in a way that it's dichotomized. What is the way most people think? Most people think that we're living in a dichotomized universe. In other words, God created the laws of nature, and then you have man. Now, man exists in contradiction to the laws of nature, because he needs an ace, so therefore God comes down and performs an ace and breaks his laws. This would mean that it was a dichotomized creation. Right, that there was a creation of nature and then a creation of man, and man stands in opposition to nature, and man, because of man's needs, nature has to be changed, and therefore God came down at a specific moment and changed nature. He says no, that's what they're saying. That's not true. But God being the creator, who creates everything with total perfection, everything was woven into those first few moments of creation, and everything unraveled afterwards. For all his brios, there's no contradiction. For all his brios, everything methodically unraveled, and Adam, man, who was a part of the creation, he, whatever his needs were, the needs that were necessary to be performed, there was all from Shesh Rebreshis. There was no need for God to intervene. Okay? No need for God to intervene. This is what Chazal say about Nisan. It's an amazing, amazing. It's an amazing, amazing idea. What we wanted to say was, based upon this concept, that most people are not very happy with that idea. Most people would be more comfortable with the idea that God intervenes at a certain point. Because it makes them feel, you see, they can understand, they feel they can understand God. Because God's intervening, it makes them feel better, it gives them a certain feeling of comfort and security. Whereas if a person understands God in a different way, as the source of all creation, and everything just unravels naturally because of God's chokhmah, this is an idea which most people aren't too happy with. They're not too happy with. A religious person is comfortable with the other idea of God. The idea of God standing on the outside and observing him, and now he comes down and helps him. There's a certain tremendous emotional satisfaction that a person draws from such an idea of God. But Chazal tell us that this idea is false. Okay? The Macharish Bituva B'chol Yom Tam Ma'aseh Breishis. We want to explain what it means. What does it mean? It means that God's Macharish every day Ma'aseh Breishis. He creates the universe afresh and new every day. It doesn't make any sense. What it means is what the Rambam says, that everything that exists by nature would not exist. Would not exist. The only thing that has real existence is God. And therefore, it's God's will, so to speak. And of course, when we say God's will, we have to understand it's all, every term we use, as the Rambam explains, is all anthropomorphic. But we have to use certain expressions, otherwise we can't convey any notions at all about God. So we say it's God's will, because of his will, that the universe, that the universe continues. Now, there's a difference between God's will before creation, during creation, and after creation. Because during creation, God's will was related to specifics. Yikavu Amayim, all the psukim and all the parshas, it was specifics. But Shabbos, the Gemara says, Chazal say, Bo Shabbos, Bo Menucha. In Shabbos, the finalizing that took place in Shabbos was a total harmony of each individual object of creation was able to enjoy a harmony. The harmony was created on Shabbos. That was the last aspect of giving the universe a total harmony, creating a harmonious whole. That's why Chazal say that it was Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos. Before that harmony was determined, certain things had to be constructed. Certain constructions had to be built in the last moment. Okay, that's what Chazal said. That's why it means the Machadish Ketuba B'chol Yom Tam Ma'aseh Breishis means that nothing would exist if it wasn't for God's will. So he is the one that every moment keeps the system operating. It's his will. Otherwise, nothing by itself exists. It only exists because of God's will. That's the idea of Macharish B'chol Yom Tam Ma'aseh. But the idea that most people are comfortable with in general, that God is on the outside, so to speak, like an onlooker, and observes a person and looks and sees what he does. This idea, the Rambam states in the beginning of the Yesod HaTorah, that it's false, not true. The Rambam says that God looks at himself and knows the world. God does not observe as a person would observe. He looks at himself and he knows the world. It's a different kind of observation. What does it mean he looks at himself and he knows the world? It means because all the chokhmah of the unraveling of the universe is all in him. And therefore he's not an external observer. Okay? I have to realize that these ideas go against what most religious people feel, and what brings them to great emotional and religious fervor. But Yahdus is a little different than the, a lot different than any other religion. And Chazal recognized, however, that man, it's not easy for man to live with that kind of an idea, that there are people that, there are a few rare people that can really approach closely to the true idea of God insofar as man is capable of perceiving it, but most of humanity can't. And that's why the Torah made certain concessions. That's why the Torah spoke, Dibbutar Kalashim Ne'olam. The Torah speaks about God as if God, Erdanova Era, Akata Kosa Boy Lai Asu Kala. Okay? Vayerid Hashem Liros Eso Iris Amigdol Asher Bono B'nei Adam. So the Torah gives a description that God went down. But it doesn't really mean, literally, I mean, take a look at the Unkelus, Tirgum Unkelus immediately on the spot. It doesn't translate God. It says Yakara that Hashem. Change it. But the fact that people, most religious people, you see, aren't comfortable with that idea.
The North and South Africa.
God, as if God, Erdanova Era, Akata Kosa Boy Lai Asu Kala. Okay? Vayerid Hashem Liros Eso Iris Amigdol Asher Bono B'nei Adam. So the Torah gives a description that God went down. But it doesn't really mean, literally, I mean, take a look at the Unkelus, Tirgum Unkelus immediately on the spot. It doesn't translate God. It says Yakara that Hashem. Change it. But the fact that people, most religious people, you see, aren't comfortable with that idea because they can't rise above the certain primitivistic notion, you might say, of God, and therefore the Torah does allow them to go along with that idea on the surface until they gain more knowledge and can appreciate the true idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? That's why, for instance, the Torah itself hid. We have a Masorah. And the Torah goes back straight to Moshe Rabbeinu through the Tanoim, straight through. That the first parshas of the Torah are not Pshutei Kama Shma, not to be taken literally. Everything else is Pshutei Kama Shma. I mean, Kamat. I mean, there's no one. It says that the God spoke to Moshe. Moshe went and did something. That means it actually occurred. But the first Avraham Avinu went to Mitzrayim. It means he went to Mitzrayim. It's not a marshal. Anybody says the marshal didn't happen, didn't occur. It's denial of the Torah. But the first Parshas of the Torah, Chazal say we have a Masorah, that it's not to be understood Pshutei Kama Shma. And the fourth day when the planets were placed in orbit, and everybody says, all the Mefarshim say, Rashi is on the spot, that they were really created way before. And it's just a something happened on the fourth day, what exactly, we don't know. But it's not to be taken literally. And the reason why Chazal prohibited the study of Maaseh Bereishis, except for a few people, is because most people can't tolerate such an idea. They lose, since they're attached to God because of a certain kind of religious emotion, they're not on the level to perceive a higher concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Torah hid the idea. But, interestingly enough, over here the Mishnah comes out with it straight, because that's basically what the Mishnah is saying. So with that concept, we said, that's what all these asaras are doing here, basically. Why? Because it says, the main asara that deals, the asara that deals with man, is the 10 times that the Jews tested God. And what does it mean, testing God? It means, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu amayin. And as I mentioned last time, they had enough. Chazal say, when they wanted this love, they had plenty of food. They took out from Mitzrayim, buck of its own, they had plenty of things. But why did they want this love? They wanted that feeling of security. They wanted that feeling of security. And that's what it says, not allowed to do that. What does it mean, not allowed to do that? You can't test God. Why? God can't perform if a person tests him? Because it's a weakness on the part of man to try to satisfy that need, that religious need for God that makes him feel comfortable. And he has to be able to avoid satisfying that need. Satisfying that need really leads to one ultimate conclusion, and that's the ego. That was one of the 10, the ego. That's interesting. Take a look at the parasha of the ego. You see the same concept. The parasha of the ego, yesterday's parasha. Well, yet the mice ego, God told Moshe Rabbeinu basically he'll destroy Klal Yisrael. And as you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was a spoiler. He caused the Jews to do tshuva, and he took Shevet Levi, and Shevet Levi went against their own families. It says, the Kiyesh is no lachas, but even more, the Pasuk in Dvarim. Omer lo'ava v'le'ima lo re'isir. That's echav lo'ot elohikir. That's bonav lo yoda. Kishomru v'masecho v'ischa yintzoru. That means that was Shevet Levi, that they went against the most powerful emotions of family. And to destroy, ish b'vno v'ochus, to destroy their own family, because they recognize that this corrupt idea is the destruction of Klal Yisrael and the destruction of God's will, and they turned against their own families. That was the whole story in the by the Maisa Ego. So they have to kasha. How can they turn against family? Because the whole tribe has also. They say relatives from different tribes. They a father. Hazasa couldn't be a father because it says Vayeyus were left called B'nai Levi. Old B'nai Levi. But it says that they, it's possible for a Ben Levi to have a grandfather from another tribe. So it's mother. So they had to kill him. There are a few psukim that become understandable with this idea. Why? Because the pasuk says, after the Maisa Ego, even after the tshuva, it says, and by the way, this concept, this the Cheta Ego, that basically the Cheta Ego describes vividly this idea. Why? Because it says that what caused them to actually make the Ego. So it says, that's right, when Aaron described it to Moshe, Vayomru li aselonu Elohim asher yelchu lefoneinu kizem Moshe isha sheyahelonu meretz Yisrael le'edanu mehoyelo. So you see that they were attached to the, they needed the comfort of a physical being to in order to relate to God. Once the Moshe was gone, so they were gripped with fear, and they lost their security, and they had to structure some object which would constantly give them that feeling, that satisfaction. And basically, that's Avodah Zorah. L'sasun iti Elohei Chesav Elohei Zorah. Even if these objects are supposed to be symbolic of God, that's the same Avodah Zorah. That is Avodah Zorah. So the pasuk says, "If this is a davar Hashem Moshe lecha leimize ato vama sher halisa meretz Yisrael alarot shenishbati lavim tiyagav lemozachatna veshelachti lefanecha malach vegerashi esaknani amori achiti aprizi achiv lusi alar zavos chol vazvash." Why? He lo ela bekirbacha. God says, "Lo ela bekirbacha. I won't go. I will not go up with you." Kiamche orafato penachelcho badorach. So it says, "Vayishma ha'om es adovra ha'ra zeve yisabolu v'lo shasu ish edyo alor." So they heard this terrible thing, and they were involved in the state of, went into a state of mourning, and they didn't put their crowns on. Okay? "Vayom Hashem ha'moshe, emo b'nei yisrael, latam k'she'orif, rega echad ala b'kiru l'cha v'hilu chi v'sicha, v'ata, hore edyecho me'alecha, v'eido me'atalach." Take off the crowns. "Vayisnatzlu b'nei yisrael lef edyo me'achore." So they took off those crowns which they received at Har Sinai. Then it says Moshe took the Ohel, he took his Ohel and he put it outside of the Machna, far away from the Machna. And it says V'hoya kol mevakesh Hashem, anyone that was searching for God, Yetzei lo omoed Hashem mechutz l'machna. What does it mean he was searching for God? Who was he searching for? It means he was searching for Moshe. But Chazal say that they were searching for Moshe, searching for God, because he's looking for the Talmud Chacham is he's searching for the Talmud Chacham means he's searching for God. So that's why Chazal say that a person that person's makabel penei Talmud Chacham is kibul makabel penei Shechina. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that wasn't the person of Moshe, it was his chachma that they went for, and that's why called Mavakesh Hashem. So it says that. So then he moved his oil out, and it says, "Kaseis Moshe la'ol yekuma kol ha'om v'nitzvu ish pesacholov v'itachem Moshe ba'ol." What were these crowns? See, the crowns. What is a crown? A crown really is a person is crowned. That means that he's. It shows a certain importance for the individual. Certain importance. The only real importance that man can have is recognition of God, understanding the truth concerning God. That's the real crown. So in Har Chorev they received those crowns. But once their idea of God became diluted, they didn't have the pure idea of God anymore because they were reduced by the by their emotions to the Chet HaEgel, even after the tshuva, they were still on a lower level, so they had no right to those crowns. Because those crowns represented the perfection of understanding God in a true manner, and they didn't deserve it, so they had to remove it. Moshe Rabbeinu removed the oil because it means, and what is it? See, I want to say for instance, when it says, a little further. So then Moshe Rabbeinu, after that, so it says Moshe Rabbeinu went to the oil, And it says, V'roch olam asamar anon, v'mosh ben went to the Ohol, they saw the Amar anon, ome pesach olam, v'kom kolam v'shtachlu ish pesach olam. And the Dibur Hashem al Moshe panim al panim, kashay dabar yishol reyo. Why does it have to mention that? The shavu lo machna, v'shor sar yishu ben nun na'le, only v'loyomash mitach olam. Why does it mention that? This whole area. Then also, afterwards, as a yom Moshe Hashem, rey, atzah omer lai halas olam, you tell me to take these people up, v'atol lo adatani et shetishlachim. And you didn't tell me who you're going to send with me. V'atol mate datich l'shem. Moshe Benu made his request that God should show him his ways. And I will know you. Very the psukim. What is this? Why does this follow from here? What is the continuity between the Cheta Ego and the Nidui that took place because Moshe had to remove his tent, and then Moshe Benu is saying he can't go. He says, so Moshe Ben said, I can't go myself. You have to go. So what happened? So the Gemara says one of the three things Moshe Ben asked for that God granted him, that he will go with the Jews. So and he will go, he won't go. What is this dependent upon? Then Then Moshe Benu asked more. He saw things are getting good. Might as well ask more. But Rashi says, he saw it's a good time. It's a good time. The Shas, it's an interesting thing. I mean, just that statement itself. You see, I mean, it's an interesting point. It says that Ra'a Moshe Shehoya Eis Ratzon, a Devar Mekubalim, V'Hosef Lishol Haroso Maris Kvodo. God told him he can't grant him that request. But what does it mean? It shows you an interesting thing. It shows you that, you see, Moshe Rabbeinu, most people who have religious notions, they couldn't function in such a manner. You know what I mean? The religious emotion is simply to not to be a human anymore and to be with God, so to speak. But you see, Moshe Rabbeinu always recognized himself as a human being, and he always used his chachma to be able to seek out knowledge of God in any way possible. So that's why it says that he saw it's an Asa Kosher. He saw this is a good time, so he thought this. He had a reason why he said now's the time for me to make a move and to try to gain more knowledge. But it was always the Moshe Rabbeinu always. Was always recognized himself as a human being. There was no identification with God, which is really like a religious kind of a notion. But he always recognized himself, and he saw he had to use his chachma as a person to try to gain as much knowledge as he could. So he said, "This is a shas kosher. I'll try to get more knowledge now." You see, that's a different kind of approach than a regular person would not think of such a thing. What do you mean? God wants to give me knowledge. Give me knowledge. No. You have to. Your purpose as a person is to try to use your chachma as much as you can to gain knowledge. And if you see that this is the proper moment, so you have to make the move at that time. You don't make the move, you're going to lose it. It all depends upon the chachma sadam. So, as a matter of fact, there's a strange medrash over there. The medrash says that at a previous time God wanted it's machlokes really. But the Medr says that at a previous time God wanted to disclose this knowledge to Moshe when he by the snare. But then it says Vayaste Moshe Panav. He hid his face, and then when he asked him for the knowledge again, so Chazal says, so God said to Moshe, when I wanted, you don't want. Right. Now that you want, I don't want. See, I think what it means is like this. I mean I can't explain it fully, but I think what it means was that when Moshe Rabbeinu was by the snare, so then it was he was involved. He wasn't the leader of Kol Yisro at the time. He wasn't the leader of Kol Yisro at the time. So he was a person that was involved in pure metaphysical speculation. And since that was the only motivation that he had at the time, then he was roy to he could have received that knowledge. But he didn't feel he was ready. He didn't feel he was ready for it. As a matter of fact, there's another chazal says the opposite. Says that it was the right thing for him to do. Because he really was, that was a correct assessment.
That's how we learned.
That's correct.
We learned like
yeah, it's machlokes. It's machlokes. It's machlokes. But the point is like this. But later when he wanted that knowledge because of Klal Yisrael, he wanted it because in terms of Klal Yisrael, so that was not good. That God said, now you can't have the knowledge. Knowledge cannot be used as an implement. Can't be used as a tool.
No longer allowed.
It was. He had different motives. It was a different state. He was in a different state of mind. Different state of mind then, and he wasn't able to receive the Nevoah. That's why God said, "Shirat Tisi, Lora Tisa." Now you want, but anyway, yes. According to them, they asked Moshe Panov Menzi. He could have gone further in metaphysical speculation, but he knew that he's not ready, and he hit his face means to say that he didn't go any further. He knew his limits. It's machlokes. But yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So what really did God reveal to Moshe? What did he really reveal to Moshe? He wouldn't give him Harein Hashem. But what did he actually grant him? He granted him the Yud Gimel Midos. Hashem Hashem Kel Racham Rachanan. So what does it mean? He says Vayoma Ani Avir Kol Tuvi Al Panecha. So Rashi says, "Higia Shor Shetira Bekvodi Masha Ershos Cholera." Now the time has come that you could understand, you could see what I will permit you to see. L'fishani rosa, the tzorach will amed chaseda tzila, shekishenetzrachto levakesh rachman al Yisrael, iskatulis chusavos. Because when you ask for rachman, you mask as chusavos before. He says, Kisavarata, you thought Shem Thomas Chosavos, this Chosavos stops, ain't no tikva. But Ani Avir Kol Midas Tuvi Lefonecho Al Atzur, Va'ata Tzofun B'mayre, V'Karasi B'Shem Hashem Lefonecho, L'Lamed Choseder Bakoshes Rachman. Afin Tichles Chosavos, U'Kiseder Zer Shatoro Osi Ma'utuf, V'Kora Yud Gimel Midos, Hevi Malamed Es Yisrael Lassos Kain. V'Al Yedei Shi Yaskiru Lefonai Rachman Lechanon, Yenenin, Tirachamai Lokol. Okay? So he says that he taught Moshe Rabbeinu the tefillah that we always use in an Eis Sora, Hashem Hashem Yigimu Midos. So he taught him that's the proper way that Klal Yisrael should approach God in an Eis Sora. Okay. Now we'll get back to this. Now then what happened? It says after he revealed to him the Yigimu Midos, Chazal said that what did he ask for? He asked for two things. He asked for Ashrash Shechina among Klal Yisrael, that's one. And two, Shlotishra Shchinoscha Bein Umas Olam. God should not allow a Shchina to reside among the other nations. And why? So it should be for Niflino and Ivamcha. We have to be different. And then the Neinach Akaris Bris, Nega Kalam Kalas and Aflo, so she'll never call it Tolga, Rochalam Shadda Shadda Tavak Kibas Master Shem Kinoro Shem Yosimach. Then after that, you have the idea in the Parsha. First of all, it comes out that if it wasn't for this, for the fact that the Jews sinned by the ego, so they wouldn't have. I mean, they wouldn't have the Shechina Beinehem, and they wouldn't have. They wouldn't be the only ones that deserve the Shechina, and the Umas Olam would also have Ashrash Shechina. Funny kind of a thing. Comes out like the Rambam says in the beginning of the Mara. That because of the chait, they made a great achievement, great victory because of the chait. That doesn't sound right. That they should get a what?
Chait niska.
So the pshat is like this. Pshat is that what does it mean when it says that God said lo ela v'kibbucha? It means like this. It means first when they had the true idea of God before the ego. So God was with Klal Yisrael because of their knowledge of God. See, what does it mean God is amongst the Klal Yisrael? It means they were on the level where they had the true idea of God. Because they had the true idea of God, so God was with them. But once they sinned with the ego, and their idea of God was distorted and diluted, so then that was gone. That was gone. Then, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu removed the Ohel. He removed the Ohel. He said, Menuda l'Rav, Menuda l'Talmid. It's not appropriate for me to be here. Because this would be misleading. It would imply that they really can relate to that idea. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to teach them that it's not true. You can't relate to that idea anymore. Now the tent has to be away. You want Mefakash Hashem, Yeyeti Elo Amoy. But you have lost, when you lost the crowns, when you lost the crowns, you lost the true idea of God, and God is not related to you anymore like he was before. You see? The relationship that existed before was a relationship of knowledge, because they had Das Hashem. Once they lost Das Hashem, that relationship was gone. Yes. The answer to that question, how they lost the knowledge, of course, is an interesting question. But I think we spoke about that more at length by the case of Bilam. The case of Bilam. Because by Bilam also it says that he had a certain knowledge of God. And yet we know Bilam was a Rasha. So how did he achieve that knowledge? Ramban says that he had, I mean the Pasuk says, Nofel Hashem Machazah Shakai Echazah, Nofel Gluy Noyim. So he had a knowledge of God, Bilam a Rasha. But the answer is that that knowledge that he had was only because of the circumstances. Bilam was a very intelligent person, but intelligence is really not the sole requirement for knowledge of God. For knowledge of God, a person requires perfection, and Bilam didn't have perfection. But because of the situation that he found himself in, his other emotions were completely subdued. And because those emotions were subdued, he was able at that moment to see certain ideas about God clearly. But of course, the moment of the nevuah that he had, not real nevuah, but the nevuah, the type of nevuah he had left him, he reverted back to his original state. So you see that perfection in man is only valuable if man brings it upon himself. But if God brings it upon him, it doesn't last. And that's what happened with Klal Yisrael. That because of Maamar Har Sinai, and because of the Nisim and Mitzrayim and Maamar Har Sinai, certain emotions were subdued. You see, they were subdued, and they attained a certain perfection because of the situation. But the moment that situation ceased, they reverted back to a state of imperfection, and they made the eagle. They made the eagle. You see, they didn't. The chait was that they didn't sustain that level. They didn't sustain that level. Okay. Now, so what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? So Moshe Rabbeinu said like this. So Moshe Rabbeinu said like this to God. So now God is not amongst us anymore, because we don't have the true idea of God anymore. So he's not amongst us. So now Moshe Rabbeinu said, but I can't possibly take out Klal Yisrael without this way. I mean, they can't relate to God now, so it's impossible. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to God that the only way that it's possible is if in some manner they can relate to you. Not in the original way. The original way is canceled. But there must be some way in which they can relate to you. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said, that I'm asking for Ashra Shechina. See, when they went to Moshe Rabbeinu, when the tent was outside, the tent was removed, it says, Hashem, Hashem Michutz L'machana. And see, and the Pasuk says, V'dibar Hashem El Moshe Panim Al Panim, Kashay Dabar Ish Al Re'eho. The only one that retained that knowledge was Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the only human being that had that knowledge. And there was a barrier between him and between the Om. But the Om still had a connection. The connection was the oil. They were able to go to the oil. So they recognized the fact that they don't have this closeness to God anymore. But now they could still go, they could still approach God, Mevakesh Hashem, they could still go to the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu. And we're in the tent is Moshe Rabbeinu's is medaber with a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Kashi Adav Yishol Reil. See? That was the link. The link couldn't be a direct link anymore. The link had to be from the distance. That's why he took the tent and he moved it. Ha'chek min ha'machana. That was the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu demonstrated. But now Moshe Rabbeinu said that it's impossible for Klal Yisrael to go and conquer Eretz Yisrael and go through all the trials and tribulations that they're going to encounter without any relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the relationship is gone. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. He asked for three things. He asked for Ashras HaShechina among Klal Yisrael, which means V'neflinu ani v'amcho mikol ha'om asher pnei adama, which means that there should be a visible difference in Ashgacha between Klal Yisrael and the other nations. Why? And that's why it says Hinei Nechikaris Bris, another Bris, a new Bris. What happened to the old Bris of Sinai? The old Bris of Sinai was lost because of the ego. But Hinei Nechikaris Bris Neged Kol Amcho Es and Eflos Hashem Lo Nivru Cholas Cholagoyim Vro Cholom Asher Atov Vekibros Ma'aseh Hashem Kinevru Hashem Yasa Imach. causes me. It means to say that the only way that they could relate to God now was from the distance, from seeing effects. Not any more directly, but from seeing effects that Klal Yisrael has a certain Ashgacha, other nations don't have it. Other nations don't have it. So therefore it was a visible demonstration. They had to have that visible demonstration, but not a visible demonstration like an ego, which is a delusion, a total distortion of the pure idea of God. But there's a second possibility that a person can say, "Look, I don't know God. I don't deserve to have that knowledge. But still, there are certain effects that I can relate to. Certain effects of God that I can relate to." And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said, that he wanted to know Hodini Noach Rechach. In what way can I relate Klal Yisrael in a second way, a new way, to relate Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And that's why God taught him the Yud Gimel Midos. And he said that when the Jews say Yud Gimel Midos, Hashem Hashem Kelrachim Lachanun, so then I listen. Even though they don't understand what they're saying. Only Moshe Rabbeinu understood Yud Gimel Midos. Nobody else understood Yud Gimel Midos. Moshe Rabbeinu understood it. Ani Avir Kol Tuvi Al Panecha. But Varisa Sachoray Afonel Eiro. But Moshe Rabbeinu was able to understand the Yud Gimel Midos, the Drachecha. But nobody else can. But merely by enunciating the Yud Gimel Midos, by recognizing that there is something about God that Moses...